Tell me love him. They are awesome. Also want to remind you that if you've not found your place of ministry here at Grace and you love working with kids, just fill out that little communication card, and we will be glad to get you connected working with our Grace kids. It's a lot of fun. It's great ministry. They are the next generation of our community and the church. Amen? I mean, they are. So they deserve our attention, and they deserve our best effort, to be sure. So I want to encourage you to do that. Well, happy Mother's Day. Yeah, all of you who are mothers. You know, I don't know, you were probably raised in a church like I was, but on Mother's Day where they had a, you know, they gave a flower to the oldest mom, flower to the youngest mom, the flower to the mom with the most kids, right? They never gave out the flowers to the mom who should have killed their kids but didn't, right? I mean, you never heard that category being spread, right? You know, okay, oh, Miss So-and-so, we know your kids, you get 7 flowers because, right? We never did that one, but moms, we want to say a very special word to you. We love you. You do a unique thing in to the lives of your children. You do so many things that shape us and help us become the people that we are, and so we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being the moms you are. If you're here today and your mom is in heaven, as my mom is, you know that you would love to say hi to your mom. You would love just one more chance to have a Mother's Day with her. So in light of that, if your mom is still living but not here with you this morning, give her a call. Try to go see her if that's possible, if she's close. Spend some time with her, because that time goes away so quickly. And you just don't get it back. And so, moms, we love you. We are thankful for your influence in our lives. And we love you so very, very much. One of the things that my mom did in our home is she built community. Now, she built community for a couple of reasons. Now, dads can do that too, so let me be really clear. Dads can also be great community builders. Dads can also be people who gather the folks, who gather the kids, who gather the grandkids, and they circle around dad. That can be dads as well. But in my home, it was mom. Mom was the one who made sure we all got together at Christmas. Mom was the one who refereed all the fights. Can I get an amen? Because it doesn't matter how old you are. I'm the youngest of 4 boys. So it just doesn't matter how old you are. You put all 4 of us in a room, there's going to be a fuss. Somebody's going to fuss about something. And mom could always, you know, gear that down, bring it back to reality, and let out. She was always the one who built community. She was the one I can remember when she was dying. She had pancreatic cancer, and I went and spent a week with her at UAB Hospital in Birmingham, at Birmingham Hospital. And she said to me one of the nights I was there, she said, "Terry, I hope that you boys will continue to get together when I'm gone." Mom understood something, that it wasn't natural for us. I mean, we love each other, but we're just busy. We all had families. We all have jobs. We all have things going on. It wasn't like we didn't love each other. It's just that a mom's heart and a mom's priority system is just different than a guy's most of the time. Not all the time, but most of the time. And so, you know, our fellowship of community was, we call each other on Saturdays. That's sort of our deal. So every Saturday morning, I take Layla to the park, and I'm calling my brothers, or they're calling me, and we spend our time in community. But what was interesting is when I had my surgery a few weeks ago, my brothers came down, sort of surprised me. And, you know, they were in the hospital with me and making fun of me and making my life miserable. So some things never change, right? So when they left, I, you know, it said lock the door, right? So, but it's a wonderful thing to have that community. And moms are great at that community. When I was in the hospital, me and Renee were talking one afternoon about, because Renee's mom's in heaven too. And so we were talking about what would it be like if her mom was here and my mom was here, what would be happening with me going through this health issue. And we both agreed that our moms came from a school of thought that if you could just eat, everything would get better. I mean, you could walk in with your leg dangling off. Oh, eat, it'll grow it back. Right? I promise you, it'll just regenerate if you could just eat the right food. Man, your leg will come right on back. And do anybody of you have moms like that or grandmoms like that? Right? I mean, if you just eat, it's all going to be okay. And so we had a good time laughing about that and thinking about that. But then that naturally led to really becoming overwhelmingly thankful for our moms, but also for the community that we have here at Grace. And the community that we have here in Putnam County. And community is so vital, and yet it's so much under attack. There's 350 million people in America today. By the year 2025, George Barna says this, that if you take all the evangelical Christians, all the people who claim to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and set them aside, here's what's going to be true of how they interact and react in community. A third of them will become what he calls worship gypsies. They're people who are going to find the group they like, the singer they like, or the TV preacher or YouTube preacher they like, and they're going to travel wherever they are, and that's going to be their community. So their community will probably get together about, you know, 4 or 5 times a year, and that's going to be how they connect with their faith. The other third are going to be home, what he calls homebound Christians. They're going to find their community at home with 2 or 3 other people or on the internet in some sort of live chat or live experience, and that's going to be their community. Only a third of evangelical Christians will get in a car on a Sunday morning, drive to a place like this, and sit in a room with people like us. Only a third. Now, I'm going to argue today, my premise is this, is that community is God's idea, so it's the best idea. It is absolutely God's idea for us to connect and link together in community and with each other. Okay? Turn with me, if you will, and we're going to show you first that it is God's plan. In Matthew 18:20, the Bible says this, "For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am among them." This is Jesus talking, and he says this, "For where 2 or 3 people are gathered together because of me, consistent with my values, consistent with my teaching," not what they want my teaching to be, but what my teaching is, "where 2 or 3 are gathered together in a consistent way with my values, my nature, and who I am going to be powerfully in the midst of them." Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "Terry, does that mean God's not with me when I'm alone?" No, because 1 Corinthians tells us, Paul says, what? "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells within you?" There is no doubt if you're a Christian here today, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. The third person of the Trinity has taken up residence in your life, and if you go hunting this afternoon, Holy Spirit's with you. Go fishing, the Holy Spirit's with you. Go to a ball game by yourself, Holy Spirit's with you. The Holy Spirit is with you individually without question. But Jesus says in Matthew 18, there's something unique and different and special and specific about gathering together as God's people. When you do that, I am uniquely in the midst of you. Now, we know that's true because of how Paul or James, rather, would talk to us about healing. Remember what James says. If any are among you who are sick, remember this? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them come together, pray the prayer of faith so that you might be healed. Now, that's not an individual thing. Notice what James didn't say about that. He didn't say, "Go get some oil, dump it on you, and dance a jig, and you'll be healed." Doesn't say that. He says, call for the elders of the church, the community. Call for the leaders of the community to come together. Let them anoint you with oil. Let them pray the prayer of faith so that you might be healed. Tony Capolo tells a story. He was preaching in the Northeast at a formerly Christian school, but still sort of Christian. and they have their annual Be Nice to God Week, right? I don't know if you know these Christian schools, but these used to be Christian schools, and now they're really sort of really liberal. They still have a Be Nice to God Week. They bring somebody in who sort of believes the Bible and sort of believes in Jesus, and, you know, they preach. Now, I went to a Christian school, and we had that twice a year. We had a Be Nice to God Week in the fall and in the spring. So, you know, you're going to get it twice if you wanted it or not. So anyway, so he was preaching. And at the end of the service, he noticed that a mom and a young boy who was crippled, he had braces and couldn't walk, and he had crutches, and he couldn't get around. They came forward, and the mom said, we heard there was a revival here on campus, and it was open to the public, so we're here, and we want you to please anoint my son with oil and pray that he might be healed. Now, Tony was a Baptist, and he said, we didn't do that. He said, so I looked around, and I saw a bunch of charismatic kids back there raising hands, talking in tongues. I got them. Said, you know, I got the charismatic kids up here, and I said, okay, I need a little help. And so they go to a back room, and I said, we need some oil. And they said, well, what kind of oil do we need? He said, Del Monte, I don't know, just get some oil, right? And so they go to the kitchen, they find some oil, they come back, and the boy was there, and he had his crutches, and he sat down, and he had his braces on, and they anointed him with oil, and they began to pray, and the, you know, Pentecostal kids were, they were getting after it, and they were doing their thing, and so they were praying, and they were praying, and they were praying, and Tony said it was at that moment that the Spirit of God descended in power. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been in a community? Have you ever been with a group of people? Well, the Spirit of God descended with such power, such clarity, such understanding that you could not deny that the Spirit of God had shown up in power. He quoted Rudolf Otto, and he said, this is the noumena in the sense of awe. It's the Spirit who produces this overwhelming sense of awesomeness and heaviness in the room. He said, we prayed, and he said, everyone was crying, everyone was weeping, you know, and we knew we were going to open our eyes, and that crippled boy would throw off those braces and crutches, and he would walk. We knew it was going to happen, and it didn't happen. He said, we were flabbergasted, we didn't understand it. He said, I was back in the area about a year later. I was preaching at a church, and got done preaching, and people sort of cleared out. And in the back of the room was this lady and this boy. And the boy comes running down the aisle to me and grabs me and hugs me. And the mom comes up, and Tony's looking at her, and she said, I don't know if you remember me. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember you. And nothing happened. We prayed and nothing happened to your son. She said, oh, no, it did happen. It just happened the next day. I said, what happened? Said, well, he always takes his braces off when he goes to bed, and when he gets up, he puts them back on. Well, he got up the next morning and put his braces on, and it hurt his legs, and so we loosened them. And it went on like that for weeks. Every day we loosened the braces, adjusted the braces a little bit more, until his legs were straight, his hip was straight, his back was straight, and he didn't need his crutches anymore. And God, over a period of a month, healed him from having these crippled legs and curved back to being straight. God healed him in the context of community. Not by yourself. God doesn't make Lone Ranger Christians. We do that by choice. And when we do, we separate ourselves from the real power of God that's released through community. 5 weeks ago, I was facing open heart surgery. We're still in the series, What You Learn When They Crack Your Chest Open, right? Still the series. So I learned about community when they cut my chest open. We came up here, and I asked for the elders to come and everybody else who prayed the prayer of faith that would believe. Now, understand, some people weren't invited to pray. Because if you were going to pray, hey, God, if you're not doing anything, take care of Terry, I don't want that prayer. That's not the prayer I was after, right? I was after the God. Terry's in trouble. Please show up and we believe it. That's the prayer of faith. Amen? Amen. And so we asked the folks to come up, and many of you came, and thank you. Thank you. I really mean thank you. You came, and many of you laid hands on me, anointed with oil, and we prayed. And we prayed for three things. Prayed that there would be very little pain in the operation. We prayed that I would heal very quickly. And we prayed that God would truly do a complete healing one way or the other. Well, as you know, and I've mentioned to you, the pain factor has been miraculously low. I took my last pain pill post-op day 3. And for those of you who don't know, I had quadruple bypass. They sawed my chest open. And I had my last pain pill post-op day 3. That's not me, because trust me, you could talk to my wife, I am a sissy. I would say a girl, but girls are tougher than guys when it comes to pain. Right, mothers, amen? I'm telling you, if it was up to guys to give birth, the world would be empty. Let me just go ahead and tell you, there would be nobody. You know, nobody. Couldn't staff anything. Right? So, you know, God did that. God did that because the community prayed. And the community believed. And the power of God was released. You see, when you separate yourself from community, you separate yourself from where Jesus has uniquely said, when you gather together, I'm going to be there in a special and a real way. Now, second thing that we see is that God wants us to be in community because life is going to happen and we're going to need help. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the Bible says, now bear one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? To love God and to love others. Remember, that's the greatest commandment, to love God and to love others. If you love someone, you care about them. And when they are burdened, you want to lift it. Now, burden's going to come to you packaged in so many different ways. It may come to you with a health issue. It may come to you with a relationship issue. It may come to you in the forms of a job issue, a financial issue. It may come to you, burdens may come to you in a lot of different ways. And if I care about fulfilling the law of Christ, if we as a community care about fulfilling what Jesus says, we're going to lift those burdens of each other and we're going to care. I don't know about you, but one of the things I learned laying there with my chest cracked open, there are some things you shouldn't carry alone. You shouldn't carry alone. You can. Sure you can. You can suck it up and toughen it out and carry it alone. Sure you can. But you shouldn't. Because it's healthier if you allow others to help. Rick Warren summarizes a verse out of 1 Corinthians when he says this. He says, you've gone through what you've been through to help others get through what they're going through. Isn't that true? You've gone through what you've been through to help others get through what they're going through. When I was getting ready to go into the hospital, I had many of you come to me and after the prayer time and say, hey, I had that done years ago. My brother had this done. My dad had it done. Keep your head up. You're going to be okay. That meant more than any amount of money anybody could have ever given me. And then when I got home, so many of you have been so good to call and text and come by and tell your story about how you either had this type of surgery or know someone who did. And I would tell you, man, my energy's just low. It'll come back. Well, I'm bummed out. Man, I can't lift over a gallon of milk. It'll get better. And I realized that by letting you care for me, I got better quicker. Because the Bible says to bear one another's burdens. And we do that best in the context of community. We just do. Well, what's another reason for this wonderful thing called community? Turn with me, if you will, over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, verses 24 and 25. Now, Paul, the writer of Hebrews says, now let us consider this, how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's just a couple of things here the writer of Hebrews says that community does. One, we're to encourage each other, stir up to love and to good works. When I meet you on the street, I see you in the store, we hang out and I see you somewhere. And when you walk away, I should have pushed you closer to loving God and loving others and to doing good works if I'm being a good Christian and community member. As you come to this fellowship each and every week, and thank you for coming, bring folks with you. As you come, you should leave having been pushed to love God more, love others more, and to do good works. That's part of our responsibility as a community, not to be drugged into gossip and backbiting and murmuring and complaining and, you know, people in their brokenness saying things that aren't, we just got to stay away from that. That's not what the community's about. When you walk in and you leave, man, I want you to know you are loved by God, you're loved by us, and we want to push you further toward loving God and others and to good works. The second thing, assembling together. Don't neglect assembling together. It is so important when the trend is two-thirds of believers disconnecting from the church. It is so important that we stay together. It is so important that we come together. The church, the ecclesia, the called out people of God is God's idea. Community is God's idea. And it's where his power and his grace is released. And then finally, when we come together, Hebrews says, we're to encourage each other. That's a pretty cool word. If you look at that word, the etymology of it, break it down into its parts, it has two parts. The first part is in. It's preposition, in, to be inside, right, to in. Then the second part is courage. It means to place courage into someone. How many of you know you can wake up and go out into the day, and by halfway through it, the courage to live for Christ, to love and to do the right thing is sucked right out of you. Do you know that's true? Mothers, one of the greatest things you can do, and my mom did this to me, is to build courage into your kids. Now, courage and control are two different things. We'll get to that later. Not today, but later on. But courage, to build courage into your kids. Because here's what's going to happen. Your kids are going to get zapped in the world. People are going to reject them. People are going to neglect them. People aren't going to love them like you love them. People aren't going to care about them like you care about them. And they're going to need to be able to call you, and you need to be the one that says, get your head up. Keep going. Man, let me put some courage into your life. You can win this thing. Keep going. I could call my mom when I was in college, and I could say three words. I kid you not. Some of y'all have mothers like this. I could say three words, and the next thing out of her mouth was, Terry, what's wrong? Do you have a mother like that? I mean, you're trying to be happy. You put on the happy voice. Mom, how you doing? Okay, what's wrong? How do you know that stuff? Seriously, moms just have that. And she would begin talking to me. I remember I went through a horrible time my third year of college. Terrible time. And I was really giving up in many ways and on a lot of things. I remember calling my mom, and she said, it was tough love time. She said, get your head up. Put your shoulders back. You're a man. Now, I want you to walk out of here. I want you to get your head up. I want you to put your shoulders back. And you're going to get through this because God's bigger than this, and he's going to make you bigger than this, and you're going to be fine on the other side. It wasn't this, oh, Terry, you're so sweet and precious, honey. Sometimes moms got to put a foot in it. I said it, get over it. Sometimes you got to have a foot in it because you got to remember, man up. And moms have the way of doing that that you listen to. Because God made you that way. Our community has to be that place too, where we say, let me put some courage in your life. Let me encourage you. Let me build you up a little bit. Man, when the world's knocking you down, we want to be the ones to pick you up. Let us put some courage in your life. Let us remind you of the reality of God, the simplicity of the gospel of grace, not the gospel of some other man, but the gospel of grace. Let us talk to you about that and how it can set you free and liberate you. Let us remind you that the person of the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you at the moment of your salvation, and you're able to walk free and empowered and no longer a slave to base and low-level living and desires. You're bigger than that. Let us be a community that helps you with that. When I was laying there with my chest sawed open, I was so thankful for so many of you who said those clear words to me and helped me. So thank you. Well, what else? Community is given to us because life happens and you're going to make mistakes. Listen to what Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to the one, listen, who is alone when he falls. Not if he falls, when he falls. But woe to the person who is alone when he falls. And there's not another there to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they could keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand against him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So what the scripture says, you're going to fall, and sometimes you're going to need help getting up. You're going to struggle, and sometimes you're going to need help getting up. If you walk with Jesus long enough, you will make a bad choice. You will do some things that aren't godly. You will. We all do. Just don't be alone. Be in community. Because here's the deal. When you do that, you need a community that isn't going to shame you, guilt you, condemn you. You need a community that's going to extend grace to you and say, let us help you up so you can do better. Your tomorrow's better than your yesterday. Your future's better than your past. And God's plan for you is better than any dream you've ever had. So get up. Get up. Sometimes you need community to get up. When Jesus sent his disciples out, he sent them two by two. Why? Because people could come against him. He didn't want them alone when people came against him. Wanted to have a wingman, a partner there with them to help. This is why we beg you to be a part of our life groups, to be a part of our Sunday school, to connect in community. We can't make you, that's not who we are, and we don't guilt you out, that's not who we are. We simply try to present to you the realities of Scripture. Don't walk alone. Connect in community. It's part of what we do. Well, what should our attitude be as we move through this time? Listen to what 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 through 27 says. It says, now I pray, this was Paul, that there are be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, then all rejoice together. Do you get the picture of the community, the attitude? If you're hurting, we're going to hurt. If you're suffering, we're going to suffer. And we're going to walk with you. I can't tell you how much the meals and the text and the emails and the letters and the cards have meant to me over the last 4 weeks. It's been amazing how much when people have seen me out, you've hugged my neck gently. Thank you very much. All right? gently and said so many kind words. Thank you. Thank you. Because when one person suffers, we all suffer. When your relationship breaks apart and you're sitting there wondering why, we suffer with you. When your child grows up and goes in a direction that you didn't even know that direction existed, we suffer with you. When you lose a parent, we suffer with you. When you lose a job, we suffer with you. When your grandchildren or nieces or nephews, people you care about, go through hard times, we suffer with you. But we also rejoice with you. When you get that promotion, we're not going to be jealous or bitter. Man, we're going to rejoice. You get to go on a great vacation. I love it when you guys go on vacation and post on Facebook. Man, I rejoice. They're having a great time. Amen, Lord. Thank you for giving them a great time. I'm not sitting there going, they don't deserve that. I know them, and they don't deserve that. That's not the community we're involved with. We don't have that petty, small thinking, small living jealousy. It's not who we are. We're rejoicing that. You get a new car, great, give me a ride. Got a new boat? Better you than me, right? All right, give me a ride. I rejoice with you. That's what this community does. You need people to suffer with you, but you also need people to rejoice with you. You go through a horrible breakup, terrible divorce. Nobody wins. Everybody's hurting. We suffer with you. But then in time, you heal. In time, you learn to trust again. In time, you learn to love again. And guess what we do? We rejoice with you. We rejoice with you. Because God is a healer and a restorer and a redeemer. And community is meant, it's designed to celebrate and to also suffer. What a great attitude. Then finally, final thing about community is this, that I learned. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says this, "Now we urge you, brothers and sisters, to admonish the idle." Okay, let me tell you what that means. That means when you're sitting on the bench not doing what God's called you to do, in community, somebody's supposed to put a boot up your... going to put a boot in it. That's what it means. If you're sitting there idle not doing what God's called you to do, somebody should love you enough to put a boot in it. Somebody should love you enough to say, that's not God's best. You are not going to experience the freedom of God sitting there doing nothing. You're not. So here comes my foot. You say, but I don't really want to do anything for the kingdom. Oh, that gets the foot. Oh, but my schedule is way too busy. I don't have time. Foot. Foot's coming. I don't have any gifts and abilities. We're going to get you trained up with shape class, and then a foot's coming. If we're a healthy community, we don't let our brothers and sisters hurt themselves by disconnecting from the purpose of God. Because it hurts you. God's purpose is better than any dream you've ever had for yourself. And because we love you, we won't let you sit on the bench and be real comfortable. Be a little bit uncomfortable. So it says that we urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle, to encourage the faint-hearted. We talked about that. To help the weak. Everybody's weak in some area of their life. Everyone is. No one's perfectly strong in every area of life. It's just not true. Everybody's going to have a weak area. Whatever your weak area is, there's somebody here who can help you. There's somebody here who can love you through that. Community helps with that, to be sure. Then he goes on and says, help the weak and be patient with them all. My mom had the patience of Job. Any of y'all's mothers have the patience of Job? I mean, because I look at my brothers, I'd have killed all three of them. Not her. She just loved. Always thought the best. Was always patient. I hesitated telling this story. It's personal and it's still makes me pretty angry. I'm going to share it anyway. Many of you know, about 8 years ago, now 9 years ago, I went through a pretty rough time. Drinking was way out of control. And I got drunk and wrecked my car. Some of you didn't know that. Well, I did. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, obviously I'm not the guy. All right, so I can direct you to other places better. But I'm not the guy if you're looking for someone perfect. I'm not the guy. So in the wake of that, my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She was dying. Someone cut out all 8 articles in the paper about my wreck, boxed it up, and sent it to my mother. Sent it to my mom, who's dying of cancer. And my mom, when I found out, because it took me a little while to find out, one of the brothers ratted it out and told me, so that's all I knew. I called my mom, and of course, extremely sorry, and you know, didn't want to embarrass you and all this kind of stuff. And I said, Mom, I don't know who did that, but I'm going to find out. And when I find out, I'll be in jail again. I really didn't go to jail the first time, but I'll be in jail. And she said, son, she said, you just don't understand. They just sent that so I could pray for you better. You see, it's a patient heart that gets to go down the road of grace. Not someone like I was. Moms, have that patient, forever optimistic heart towards your children. Because the world will attack them, and they need somebody in their corner. So, as a community, we believe in being patient to everyone, regardless of their weakness, regardless of their journey, regardless of the road they travel. As I lay there in the hospital, wanting to come home every day, I learned something. Being a part of a community isn't really an option if you want a healthy Christian life. If you want a healthy Christian life, being a part of community is a mandate. Because it's in that context that you will experience the power of God, the grace of God, the unbelievable support of friends. And when you fall, a room full of people who will look at you and say, the best is yet to come. Get up! Because the best days are ahead of you, not behind you. That's the community we're building here at Grace. And don't you think there's a whole lot of our friends and family who need to be here? I think so. So let's pray for them. And let's go get them. Amen? Amen. Pray with me if you will.